Hi, Joel Rothman from Cape Town, South Africa. Thanks for supporting insurance innovation in Africa. Keep up the great work.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to our podcast, InsurTech Business Series. I'm sure that you must have probably heard some of the activities we've carried out during, you know, this period, but we just completed our InsurTech Business Series conference, and it was a fantastic one. I mean, being the first of its kind in Nigeria, and we dare to say Africa, of course. We were able to bring together insurance incumbents and, you know, InsurTech startups. And, you know, we were able to establish something beautiful, because if there was one thing that stood out for me, I mean, was the fact that our panelist lineup were from, I mean, around the globe, you know, and just not from Nigeria. So it was fantastic. It was really beautiful. And I don't know, because, I mean, hearing what people have been saying in the industry about the entire event even makes me super happy. What do you think, Damola, especially about our sponsors, our panelists, and, you know, like the tone of the events? How exactly do you feel?
Yeah, I'm super excited about what we're able to achieve. So I want to say congratulations to you, first of all.
Congratulations to us.
I want to say thank you to each and everyone who was part of the event, helping to plan, and also attended on that day. A lot of people from different parts of the world, you know, attended, and it was quite interesting. And we're still trying to put together at the moment, I mean, all of the talking points from the event, because our main aim is to gather all of these talking points and share with industry stakeholders and say, hey, this is the conversation that we had with the industry. This is what they are saying. This is how we think that we can, you know, improve penetration in the industry. This is how we think we can take this industry to the next level. Why not try this? Why not try that? And so I think that that's one way that I think that we can give value to an industry and continue to have meaningful conversations even amongst ourselves. Huge thanks again to our sponsors, Duracell, AXA Mansa.
Amazing.
Thank you very much for coming through. The conference is available on YouTube. It's on our YouTube channel. You can always watch that again. And we'll do well to share the link to that on the description of this episode, so you can watch again all that happened during the conference. It was a super, super, super interesting conversation from the beginning to the end. It was interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my take home really would be, I know that we mostly talked about, insurance technology, upscaling insurance, you know, processes and products, you know, and then we also talked about micro insurance. Richard Lefty was himself an equipment. He actually broke fire, and as a matter of fact, Henry himself, they had, was no own back, as in they held nothing back. And I like the fact that, you know, they pointed out what exactly was going on in the Nigerian industry and Nigerian space. I mean, of course, it relates to claim. But today, you know, one of the feedback we also got was the fact that while all of these digital disruptions are coming up, it's also important for people as much as possible to, you know, there's a need for upskilling.
Yeah.
Some of the skills that we probably have would be outdated.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you would also need people to operate machines, you will need people to underwrite, you will need people to play claims. So how exactly are we positioning ourselves for that, you know, disruptive future, for that technology future, era of digitalization? And that's where this conversation comes in today. You know, we're having an outstanding lady, a beautiful one at that, and of course she's from one of the top organizations, which is Leadway Assurance. Before I give out her name, perhaps Damola has something beautiful to say about her as well.
We have this project that we're running, InsurTech Business Series, Women in Insurance Project. And I mean, the main idea behind the project is to engage female professionals in the industry, you know, to talk about, you know, their strengths, talk about their achievements, talk about what women can bring to the industry and the opportunities that are there. So we had a conversation with Kumbi Adeoti, who is Divisional Director of HR at Leadway Assurance Company Limited. And like you said, Leadway is one of the leading insurance companies in Nigeria at the moment. And I mean, it was important that we spoke with her, you know, because for Leadway Assurance, I mean, over the years, even recently, they were given an award as one of the best places to work in Nigeria, especially in the insurance space. When you're looking at even mid-sized organizations. And so it's interesting that we had that conversation, and we definitely want to share that with you, because, I mean, just to pick our minds on how we're able to achieve all of these things, where technology can play in the HR space, and, you know, the interwovenness, you know, so to say, of insurance and HR, you know, and, you know, just experience in the insurance industry generally, and what we need to improve on and grow on, and what we begin to see, you know, going forward. So yeah, it was quite interesting that we had that conversation.
Yeah, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back after the short break.
We are pleased to have Kumbi Adeoti. Welcome, ma.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be with you at that time. Thank you.
Great. Welcome. We're happy to host you. Into it right now. Can you tell us a bit about yourself and really what motivates Kumbi Adeoti?
I have over 20 years of experience. I've worked in consulting firms. My longest years in my career life were spent in the telecoms industry, and that was really exciting because I worked for big organizations that had transformational projects that were cross-border, and that exposed me to diversity in every form that you could imagine. I got involved in a lot of projects that expanded not just my knowledge, horizon, perception, and what you would say, approach to life, as it were. And from telecoms industry, I did a stint in the banking industry. And then for a while, like I mentioned earlier, I did some private consulting before I came into insurance. For once, I never thought I would be in the insurance industry, but I've had the past 4 years has been super exciting years in my life. What motivates me? So the totality of my life, I'm a Christian. I make no apologies for it because for me, it's a lifestyle. It is who I am. I don't deny it. I see myself having looked intuitively that what am I blessed with? I'm not walking the surface of the earth as just a piece of furniture that is being decorative. You are here for a purpose. And you must understand that purpose, and it just gives you joy. So for me, what motivates me is to build. I see myself as that bridge that connects the individual to their own life purposes by empowering them. For the organization, I see myself as that bridge that connects the organization to the people who will then be empowered to deliver the purpose of the organization. So whether to the individual, whether to the organization, or anyone that I come in contact with, my life, my drive, my motivation is I should not come in contact with anybody and I leave you the same way I met you. Something should give. Something should make you better. And that's the way we are wired as human beings. When you come in contact with people, they don't leave you exactly the same. They either leave you worse off or they make you better. There's really no in between. And so for me, it's about how do I impact life one person at a time, making a difference, brightening their thinking, their horizon, and their capability to do more. Just to know that inside of everyone, there's a hidden treasure. They can be more. They can do more. And so I bring to fore, that drive for me is to see, is to build and make the next person better. And this is me.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neto, founder and CEO of Wella Health, where we're working on affordable access to healthcare using technology and alternative care pathways, microinsurance being central to our work. I'm delighted to be on a chat on InsurTech Business Series, where we talk about some of the stuff we're learning at Wella Health and how we can improve insurance adoption across Nigeria and Africa. Enjoy.
Interesting one that you've actually said, really. And I mean, there's really no apology for your faith. It's interesting to know that, you know, people are, as they live through that faith, and it's good that it's, I mean, radiates around you. We can feel it. I don't know about Jamaladi. But okay, so in the aspect of one of the things that you mentioned, you said you like to impact people. And, yes. You know, even if it is one person at a time, I know that we've had discussions around human capital management in the industry. And there has been argument about how a lot of HR personnel are just carrying out personnel management rather than, you know, the human capital management that it is. And I'm coming from the point where you've had a lot of instances where, say, for instance, you have, you know that clearly the person who had heard had been a senior staff, but judging by the fact that if this person has management backing, the junior staff suffers the brunt, basically. What do you think you can say to that, judging by the kind of thing that motivates you? At what point do you call a spade a spade? And at what point do you move away from personnel management to actual human capital management?
Okay. Interesting that you've asked. I would say today, so maybe years back, it was personnel management. Today, it's changing. And it's not just about Kumbi Adeoti. There are a number of us who are deliberate about this profession and putting out there what professionalism around human resources, human capital management is all about.
Okay.
Every organization has a soul and a spirit. The people who are there also have soul and spirit. We are human beings. We emote. I can power a computer, it comes on, and it does whatever command I give to it. But whilst I'm talking right now, I don't know what's going on inside of Damola. I don't know what's going on inside of you. But for me to get the best of you at every point in time, I must connect to you. And so the role of the human capital person is first and foremost understanding the direction of the business, understanding what needs to be done, where are we going? Why are we here? And then as a human capital person, you have to then know what kind of people do I require? What do I have here to make this happen? And remember, we can't take the people on board if there wasn't a business in the first instance. So you will always have to put on the business cap. You will always have to think the people, be the employee advocate. Because we emote, I must then People don't wake up and suddenly want to misbehave. Nobody comes with the motive that I'm going to misbehave today. There must be underlying reasons for it. So my role is to understand why that is happening and then be able to know how to make corrective actions. But it is important that I'm a person of integrity, because that is what matters. Only then will the business listen to me. Only then will the person at the lower rung listen to me, because they know that whatever I say at any point in time, I speak to the truth.
You mentioned a few things. I mean, and I have like two questions, but let me take this first.
Please go ahead. Ask anything you want to ask. Don't worry.
Yes, yeah. You mentioned as a professional now, looking at the company and what the direction is for that company, right? And yes, beginning the year, there was a direction. I mean, look, talking about 2020, but you know, yes. COVID-19 happened, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of talks about new reality, this, that. What's that new reality when it comes to Leadway Assurance, where you work right now?
Okay, thank you. You know, at this point, I really must commend my executive directors. I must commend my MD. I must commend the board of directors of Leadway. Yes, it may be a new reality, but I would say for Leadway, we're celebrating 50 years, by the way, and we say we're 50 and fluid. And that's big deal. That tells you a whole lot about our organization, that we may have been here for long, but we are dynamic and we are choosing to be agile with the times. And to that extent, over the past 3 years, we are actually have been looking out, and one of our strategies is digitization. And you know that digitization, it's not just about technology. It's about the way you do business enhanced by technology. And that encompasses our practices, our processes, and our attitude actually to all of the totality that I have listed. So as an organization, we've actually been doing a lot towards digitization before now. And there were elements where we had some mode of flexibility to how we work. However, what I would say is change does happen. It does not give notice. But as an organization, were we prepared? Yes, to the extent that we already had elements in our strategic orientation and we were already working towards it. So when COVID happened, what it did to us in our organization is to accelerate that pace at which we were moving. And so within the announcement of shutdown, my organization had effectively kitted employees with modems, with systems, because before now, we were already over 70% of our workforce were already on laptops. So it wasn't new. It made it easier to be able to work anywhere. We had applications. We were already using Microsoft Suite, which included Teams. We have Cisco networks. So prior to now, I recall two years ago, I was outside the country and I was already I held all my meetings. I ran my day regularly as if I was on ground. So video conferencing, remote working, and particularly my executives, they do this. It's the norm because they have to be on the go to make things happen for the business. And you need to still be able to connect back home. So what did what happened then was to the larger workforce to accelerate this. So we didn't have to wait. We had our team working from home. We had systems to support, and the organization provided all the required tools to make this happen. But of course, we're human beings, and the fact that it has been eased down, we have infrastructures in place. You know, you are just making fun now that, see, this is Nigeria. We make do with what we have. There are times that the network would fail completely and staff would have issues connecting from home. So we have a middle ground today where some are working from home, some are working from the office, and we have remote offices because we also made arrangements for that. Where is the nearest Leadway office to you? Working with your laptop, if you're having issues, because our modems are also on, they're connected to VPN that connects you direct to the office. And so if you're having any challenge with any of your tools, move to the nearest office. We've also made the offices such that they are, for lack of another word, COVID compliant. So that enables your staff safety to be able to work either from home or from wherever they are. So as of today, we work on rotational plans, and things are moving on.
A lot of these things that you mentioned, that, so for example, that Leadway has put in place that even before now, but I'm sure that, I mean, being that you started this journey of digitization before now, a lot of things that you had tried before would have been validated.
Correct.
A lot of things, this new way of working is something that we are not quite used to. I'll leave the question about, you know, the skill requirement maybe to follow me, but I'm quite concerned about the insurance industry, you know, especially in Nigeria. You know, it's not an attractive industry to work with when you talk about, you know, the millennials and the Gen Z. I'm a millennial, you know, so and it's not attractive compared to the banking sector, or, you know, or the fintech sector, you know, and things like that. So how do you think the industry can, you know, attract this generation, especially looking at the fact that these are the groups that are quite keen on digital? And this, I mean, you mentioned earlier about, you know, attracting the right people. These are people that are more keen on digital skills, have these skills, are more, that's the reality that they know. They never grew up with analog phones, wired phones, you know, wireless phones is the reality, you know. So how does the industry attract talents from these generations?
Okay. And you know, I can relate very well to what you say. I recall some time ago, this was about 3 years back now, and a young man came for an interview and was, I don't know, the insurance companies, the insurance industry, I don't want to become old all of a sudden. And I laughed, you know, I had a good laugh. Let me pick it up even from the point where we left off before this question on how, on adaptation of the industry in itself. So for example, our brokers, what should we have done? A number have offices, they don't have all these tools, you know, so it meant that as an organization, part of digitization, remember I said, is not just about having tools. It's about looking at the attitude, rethinking the way we do business, and then using technology to enable. And that meant that if we were to be able to get our brokers, which we need strongly to make business work, they don't have those tools. How do we make it work? So it starts from that even level of thinking, even before you start talking about the millennials. It meant that we had to get them to do, even if it meant spending money on WhatsApp calls as basic, and then teaching them how to upload documents on WhatsApp and then sending it as email from their phones, how to use your phone You have a smartphone, but you don't even know that the smartphone can scan for you. So it meant engagement at a different level. And it's the same thing with millennials. We've been deliberate, for example, as an organization, by creating different tracks to attract. You must build a pipeline. And there today, the people who are senior, in 10, 15 years, I mean, at some point you will retire. Who are you going to leave the organization for? So as a business person, you must be thinking the pipeline, business continuity. And to do that, you must understand what attracts this generation. So it also starts from our regulator. And everybody knows it now. Everybody sees it. It is either you change or you are left behind. You would note that Nicom launched the platform to bring everybody together. Why? Because we all recognize this. And so you can begin to see that there is the move, there is the intention. And when you look at most of the entrants into or the leaders in the insurance industry, nobody's sitting on their oars anymore. Everyone realizes that, what does the customer want? That's the first question. Convenience in the product, simple products to use, absolute convenience. I don't want to walk into your office. Today, if I need to do my banking, I log on the banking platform. I can transfer. I can open account. Before now, you were told you couldn't open an account until you come in. I mean, if it was my own days, you had to go and queue back then at Union Bank and wait for hours. And remember, you would say you need a passbook. I'm not sure your generation understands. would need a passbook, and then you can't even withdraw without. But today, in fact, we've moved. I have accounts that I don't have checkbooks for. I don't need them. I can do my transfer anywhere, anytime. I can totally, you can go to ATMs today and it's cashless. The same thing has to happen. Remember that if the insurance industry is what it is, it's a huge driver for the economy. And everybody has come to that realization. Besides, we can't work in an isolated world. The millennials, the zillennials, if they are not working with you, they are your future customers. What do they want? And you must be able to follow that trend. So it's two-pronged. As an HR practitioner, I'm thinking, how am I going to make this organization a place for these future people to thrive? For example, I want a crutch. I want flexible hours. I want to be on projects. Those are things that are evolving. I have like four generations in my organization, and I must be able to harmonize what the wants and the needs are to effectively deliver for the business. And so you will see AXA. AXA is out there advertising the platform. Look at what you can do with motor insurance. Today we're talking about insurance. We're talking about telemedicine. It's evolving. So the companies too cannot stay, because we've got to attract the future who are going to come, whether as staff or as clients. We've got to make it happen. And that move is happening already.
Okay. I kind of like the fact that you mentioned two words. That's going to lead me to my next question, which is evolving and, you know, attracting the next generation. And I know that, you know, with all of these technology disruptions and everything, human capital management is changing. And, you know, having conversations with people in that space, they tend to tell you that it's moving to a point where now you have to carry data analysis to get the right fit for the job. And so, you know, rather than having how many years of experience, is going to move to performance. So how exactly can you fit into this particular role? What have you done and all of that? How do you think that Leadway is actually preparing to enter that particular space where you're able to monitor performance, you're able to select the right fit? I know there are sometimes where even human capital errors are done where you hire a misfit for a job role because of their number of certifications and years of experience. But at the end of the day, they don't exactly fit into what you wanted them to do. That's in terms of performance. So how is Leadway positioning themselves for this change in human capital management and performance with data analysis?
I hope I don't sound like I'm boasting. Recall, recall that, like I said, kudos to my bosses who buy in so into the vision, who see it, who understand it, and who invest in it. I recall holding a conversation and someone asked me, what HR application are you using? And I said, Oracle. The person said, what? You guys invested that much? I said, yes, because we care about our people. We know what we are doing. We know where we are going. And we need to have what we will enable us get there. So we're not just starting that journey. We are on that journey. In HR today, in Leadway, we actually have HRIS as a department. We understand it. The business doesn't want you to come and talk today about, oh, my people are feeling bad. Oh, the people don't have enough money. Oh, it just doesn't feel nice. You must have the hardcore data to back up anything. Talk in numbers and numbers back to the bottom line. And the only way you can do that is you had better get analytics right. And one of the things that has also enabled us in that space is utilization of competency frameworks. What is this role? What does success mean in this role? What skill sets are required to drive this role? And at what level should those skill sets be? And when you look at it and you see competency, you are talking about the technicals, you are talking about the behavioral, and of course, you are looking at the totality, the leadership enablement that is required at that level. So to that extent, you avoid what is called in HR world pure, previously unidentified recruitment error. So yes, you may have certifications. Those things may be, how would you say it? They may be like a stamp to say, oh, I'm a subject matter in this area. But the way we structured right from the point of attraction, because we look at the entire value chain in HR, it's absolutely important. And there are measurements along that entire value chain. Who do we want to attract? Where do we get them? How do we ensure that they are a fit, both technically and culturally, to what will drive our organization? Where do we have alignment? And in the process of doing all of this, so assessments are done. There are behavioral assessments, there are technical assessments, there are a huge number of them that are brought into play and is utilized till we get to the point where we can say, yes, we have the person we require for the role. And there are processes in-house that continually measures what you do, that enables you to focus, and there are support systems. And we then continually analyze and provide data to support your growth within the organization.
Yeah, but it also goes to show that there are some things you will look out for in, you know, insurance professionals in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And at the moment now that a lot of things are pushing for digitization, we are pushing for technology, we are pushing for, I know that for those of us that did or that we've done CIN, we know that as at the time we wrote, the syllabuses had expired, but they were outdated. You have as far back as 2004, you have as far back as 1998,
yes,
and a lot of that. And right now, what was applicable then
no longer applies
to what? Yes. So what would you say that an insurance professional should be learning in Nigeria right now? I mean, aside from PIN and all of that, what would you say would position us for a better or a digitized insurance tomorrow?
An interesting question that you've asked. One thing that is vital is collaboration across borders. How do I mean?
Okay.
As a professional, you don't... you know that proverb that talks about the one-eyed man.
Okay.
So you begin to think you know it all, and you are all it all. Today, we are seeing thank God for technology, thank God for globalization. We are beginning to see what other people are doing with insurance outside of Nigeria. You've seen how Internet of Things, yes, connects everything, all your gadgets that are insured. And when there's an instance, you get a notification, your insurance company gets a notification. So if we're still using curriculum we used 20 years ago, I'm not even sure all the technicalities that you require, for example, in underwriting that kind of insurance would make sense today. Because the circumstances have changed and you can't underwrite, like you rightly noted, the same way you underwrote 20, 30 years back. You've got to look at the context all over again. And so that's what takes me to that cross-border interaction and collaboration. What are our counterparts who are ahead of us? What are they doing? CIN UK, for example, I'm fully aware the curriculum is up to date. At what point are we seeking for synchronization? At what point are we seeking for accreditation of our programs? At what point are we asking for continuous MCPE? So if you are in HR space, for example, that happens. If you are an accountant, I can require that you have to show that you are continuously developing yourself, and you're right. What you said was, look, I have the certificate and that's the end of it. Except CIIFM, Dr. Yeside Oyetayo is saying, oh, come for this course to come and do. There must be a recertification process that is a true test of skill set, not paper.
I think that for CIN and CIFM, they're working on, they've updated the syllabus now. And I mean, I know that would go a long way. How well, again, as an industry and then as players in industry individually, we embrace technology, not only in our processes, but also in what we learn and what we teach professionals is another thing. So, moving away from that, to lead way, right? So we are in the decade of action when it comes to the United Nations SDGs, you know, and gender equality is goal 5. What are some of the wins in this regard from your time with lead way? Not as long as your telecoms industry experience, but I mean, so far, what are some of the wins that you have seen, you know, with Leadway and maybe in industry, you know, what are the opportunities that still are there for us?
Thank you. Interestingly, I think about a week or 2 weeks ago, my executive director, Adetola Adebayi, was still speaking to this and a program that was organized globally as well. I must commend Leadway. So there has been deliberate effort in the past 4 years to get women into leadership position. At management level, once upon a time, yes, it was Ms. Adetola Adebayi. But today, we can confidently say that that ratio has increased drastically. We have a lot more women, myself being one of them. Our associate director for internal control and taxes, for example, is a woman. Our operations director in general business is a woman. Our chief enterprise risk management is a woman. I can go on. So there has been deliberate effort by Leadway. We are not gender biased. The issue of pay gap doesn't occur, and that is because we pay based on skill set, not on how you look, how tall, how dark, what race you belong. No, that doesn't exist. So there has been deliberate effort. Are there opportunities? Yes. My organization, for example, we are very deliberate in engaging or with associations that drive women empowerment. WinBees is one of them. We partake, we support. It's absolutely deliberate. Internally, we have groups that are focused on how do we do it better? How do we lend voice to the female child? And also in our CSRs to outside of the organization, we also do this. There are schools that we have adopted that we focus on empowering the girl child. A lot of programs around insurance and focused also on the girl child because sometime last year, I had attended a McKinsey forum, and one of the reports, it was very deliberate that if you are not focused on the female gender and inclusion and at management level, you may also be losing up to the ratio of 5 times of what your organization can make because of what women bring to the fore. This report is out there, it's public. And so that has never been an issue, at least as far as I know, with Leadway. We are deliberate. We continue to put efforts around it. It was also, as I mentioned earlier, that when we were looking at all the studies we had done internally to support, it was one of the key drivers for having a crash in the business because we realized that if you create the right support system for women, the loyalty, the dedication, the commitment, and there's this thing of wanting to get it right the first time. And the power of intuition that a woman brings to the business, it's immeasurable. So yes, the opportunities abound. We will continue to focus on how to create circles of influence that would drive this gender equality.
Right. So thank you very much for that. And I mean, happy to hear that. And we also, in our part, we actually have a project that we started off earlier than now, and basically to promote and engage conversations with female professionals in the industry,
yeah,
in Nigeria, in Africa, and just to have them share their experiences, share their what still, I mean, the opportunities like we asked, and what are some of the wins that we are beginning to see in the industry? Because I mean, if you look at it, we are seeing a lot more female managing directors in the industry, right? And we are seeing a lot more females with CIFM, with CI, and the new DG is female.
Yes.
Tadeo Mizer is coming in as MD for Allianz Nigeria. And so some of these things are there, but I mean, like we said, opportunities still remain. We're still looking at an icon position, you know. So, but I mean, it's important that we have some of those conversations because, like you rightly mentioned, there's opportunities, there are things that the woman can help even the organization to achieve. And so Thank you very much again for that. But since we have you here as, 20 plus years doing this HR business, we know that there are a lot of people that are listening to us that maybe they want to change jobs. They are maybe as they are listening to this podcast, they are going for an interview, you know. So I want to ask a few interview questions and just help us here, you know. Yes. Help us.
Like we consulting too. That's fine.
Great. So thank you. Fine. Number one, do recruiters check my posts, presence on social media, maybe LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram?
Okay. Truth is they do. Especially if it's a situation where you are headhunting for an organization. The recruiter's integrity is also on the line. They want to know, who am I presenting? And it also depends on the level at which you are for this to occur. I give you an instance. I would always say to any applicant, the internet never forgets. Mm. Be careful what you put there, because there are times that, again, it could be a function of the season of life that you're in. Some have displayed a lot of youthful exuberance and put things up that they just never bothered to go back and pull down. The world of work today has so evolved. It is so global. And you unconsciously become the brand that the people see. Mm. Because anywhere you are, you represent the company. So if I am a recruiter, I'm being careful who I'm giving to the organization, because in the end, people will interact with that person. So there are times that, I give you an instance, when I show up at an event, people don't call me by name, they call me Lidway. And you know how your friends would laugh, Lidway, what's he do? You know, I mean, Lidway is here. But I am staff. But I have become synonymous to the brand. And so to that extent, it requires caution what you do. I'm not saying don't be yourself, but please be yourself in a positive way. 2-3 months ago, there was the story of a lady that was being appointed as a minister, I think, in Kenya. And then some other people went to unearth what she had written about the parks, about all some stuff that were a bit quite negative. She was removed. And it was just because of what was on social media presence. So I'll just say, please, let's apply some bit of caution when we do whatever we do on social media.
Okay, right. So should my CV really be just one page?
So again, this is also a function of the level that you're in, but as much as possible, please, where you can make it one page, but not more than two.
Okay.
At the max, especially if you're at entry level, what have you done? And so please focus more on your achievement. Your achievement portends your potential and what you can do. So anybody who's going to interview you is going to ask, what have you done before? Don't go putting the job description of your last role. The person advertising already provided the job description, what they want you to do. You say how you have done it before and how you can replicate success.
All right. That's all that we can take. So thank you very, very much. We have really enjoyed this conversation with the amazing Kumbi Adeoti. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed every bit of it, and I appreciate your having me. Thank you. Great work you guys are doing. And in every way, we will continue to watch what you do so that we'll have an educated public on insurance. Thank you very much.
Hi, Joel Rothman from Cape Town, South Africa. Thanks for supporting insurance innovation in Africa. Keep up the great work.
Hi, and welcome to the news update. My name is Damilola, and here are the headlines. 5 companies get insurance and reinsurance operational license. NICOM grants insurance operators microinsurance operations window. Stakeholders seek collaboration to deepen market penetration. Now, the details. 5 companies get insurance and reinsurance operational license. The industry regulator, the National Insurance Commission, NICOM, issued 5 operational licenses to 4 insurance companies and 1 reinsurance company on the 27th of November 2020. The newly licensed insurance and reinsurance companies are Hares Insurance General, Hares Insurance Life, Stanbic IBTC Insurance Limited, Enterprise Life Assurance Company Nigeria Limited, and FBS Reinsurance Limited, bringing the total number of insurance companies in Nigeria to 59 insurers and 4 reinsurers. NICOM grants insurance operators microinsurance operations window. The insurance regulator, NICOM, has granted conventional insurance companies microinsurance operations window in the effort to deepen penetration and support financial inclusion. This was contained in a circular issued by the Commission on Tuesday, the 1st of December 2020, to all insurance companies with the theme Circular on Microinsurance Window Operations for Insurance Companies in Nigeria, and this takes effect from December the 1st, 2020. Stakeholders seek collaboration to deepen market penetration. In order to deepen insurance market penetration, the industry stakeholders have requested the active collaboration of the media to increase awareness about insurance products and services within the country. The Chairman, Governing Council of Insurance Industry Consultative Council, Mufutau Oyegunle, at the media retreat on 2nd of December 2020, identified journalists as critical stakeholders in the insurance industry and called for more support from the media to increase the industry's penetration through awareness. That is all we have on the news update. Do stay tuned.
Hi, welcome back. That was Kumbi Adeoti, Divisional Director HR at Libre Assurance Company Limited. I like the way that we ended it with the interview questions.
So I like the fact that, when you see someone who is actually excited about what the organization is probably doing, you know that, okay, as much as possible, they are looking at, they are forward thinking. I remember when we had the initial interview with Mr. Adinka, we talked about digital disruptions in their own space, what they've been doing in terms of IT implementations and all of that. And, you know, coming to hear from what their HR person is also saying about how far they've gone with HR, it's what stood out for me. So it makes you see that, okay, we've not been having this conversation for talking sake, basically. There are people that are taking steps and they are implementing most of these things in the organization. When she talked about the whole process of data analysis for their performance review, for their KPIs and all of that, I mean, it was just important to see how they are able to harness the opportunities in technology to carry out most of these functions. And, you know, while she was talking, I could remember that I have a friend who, during the whole corona period, was able to resign within that period. And, you know, the whole process of handing over and everything was seamless. And that's because they probably have all of these things in place for you to actually have that, you know, smooth
transition or, you know, smooth resignation. Yeah. So it was actually one of the things that, you know, stood out for me. Then also talking about, you know, interview and some of those things that graduates or even professionals in the industry need to understand is one important thing, because one of the issues that they were claimed to be our employment, that has increased unemployment rates in Nigeria, is the fact that people are not employable. And so, you know, bringing all of those snippets into it as to what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to go about it also stood out for me. And I think it's actually very important that people listen to this. I trust that there'll be one or two things that, I mean, listeners can actually pick out of these to take home or implement in their various organizations. So for me, that was it. And I'm happy that we had this conversation at this time.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, she also mentioning how they are dealing with, you know, attracting the younger generation as well. I mean, she mentioned that she has like about four generations in her organization, and she has to be able to balance the wants and needs of each generation, and, you know, for them to be successful and have a good rapport amongst them. And it's also interesting to hear about, you know, the strides that the company is making again in the place of women and you know, having a lot more women in leading positions within the company. And I want to say thank you to Kumbi Adeoti again. I really do appreciate your time. So this episode is the penultimate episode for 2020. It's been an exciting time in 2020. We started off the podcast in 2020. And
thanks to Rob Galbraith.
Yeah, thanks to Rob Galbraith. I think we need to celebrate Rob a lot more.
Yes. Shout out to Rob Galbraith.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I miss the pandemic. I mean, you gave us your time. So this is like a shout out to you.
He gave us a springboard to what we're doing today. The final episode for 2020 is going to be one that's featuring another woman, but now not in Nigeria, but in Kenya. She's Jihan Abbas. She's doing something amazing in the insurance space there in Kenya. You know, when you look at the insurance space in Africa, you know, you talk about Kenya, you talk about South Africa, you know, then you talk about Nigeria and Ghana, and you know, Kenya is up there, you know, and so he's doing a lot of stuff in that space, and we look forward to sharing that conversation as well, you know, with you. And it's just perfect that it's the last episode for 2020, and we definitely don't want to miss that. And we're looking forward to even a more fruitful 2021. Like I said during the conference, the IBS conference, a lot of the things that we're doing we are taking steps, yes, but the whole thing is a marathon, right? And so
exactly, and we'll be introducing like new things along the line. So
yes,
I would say that most of us should watch out.
Yes. So thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Do stay safe
and enjoy the rest of your week. Bye.